Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from the protests and rallies that took place around Colorado on Saturday. We'll hear from Boulder, from Longmont, from Denver, from Colorado Springs. Then we'll hear why so many people want police out of Denver schools. We'll hear from Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, an advocacy group that has for years been releasing reports on the disproportionate rate of arrests of black teens in schools. And this is when school resource officers, or rather police officers, are present in schools. We'll revisit an interview from last year. This is while Denver Public School board members are debating whether or not to pass a motion to remove police officers from schools in the city. After headlines from the BBC and a commentary from Jim Hightower on a public affair this morning, Donnie Betts speaks with the Reverend Terence Hughes. He spent seven weeks in a coma due to COVID-19. They'll talk about his community organizing and the impact of the coronavirus on the African American community. At 9 o'clock, it is media analysis from Counterspin, rounding out this morning's news on public affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Here's Jamie Sudler.
Sunday marked the 11th day that protesters took to the streets in Denver decrying police brutality. Yesterday's protest was led by members of the Denver Public Schools community and began around 10 in the morning. The Denverite reports that about 3,000 people marched from the Capitol along Colfax Avenue to the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial in City Park. The procession included students, parents, and young kids calling for an end to racism. In Boulder, hundreds of people carrying signs joined black and indigenous leaders in a march through the downtown area in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Daily Camera reports that the protest started in front of the Boulder County Courthouse, where people worked to build an altar honoring those killed by the police. Many of those who spoke to the crowd in Boulder identified themselves as queer. Yesterday's activism followed protests on Saturday. In Aurora, KDVR reports that hundreds of people gathered outside the municipal building to honor Elijah McClain. Despite severe winds and a downpour, McClain died in August after an altercation with police, who were cleared of charges, but community members continue to call for justice. In Longmont on Saturday, protesters again gathered, calling for justice for George Floyd, the African-American killed by police in Minneapolis. The Times Call reports that the rally included children, teens, and adults, and also paid tribute to Breonna Taylor, who was shot and killed by police in Louisville, Kentucky, in March. So many people were driving down Main Street in Longmont, honking their horns, that the sound carried for blocks. On Friday night, a federal judge in Denver ordered that the Denver police could not use chemical weapons and non-lethal projectiles on protesters. Judge Brooke Jackson ruled that protecting the First Amendment rights was more important than protecting buildings, and he wrote that the Denver Police Department had failed in its duty to police its own. The 11-page ruling came after four protesters filed a lawsuit Thursday challenging aggressive police actions. The judge said that he found the plaintiffs had established a strong likelihood that the city's police had violated First Amendment rights to free speech. He ordered that police were banned from using chemical weapons or projectiles of any kind against persons engaged in peaceful protests or demonstrations. The judge also set guidelines for when police officers can use non-lethal weapons against protesters. The Denver Police Department announced yesterday that it's changing the use of force and body cam policies. Officers are now banned from using chokeholds in the wake of George Floyd's death. Also, police will have to tell supervisors anytime they point a gun at someone, not just if they fire their weapons. Additionally, all SWAT officers will have to turn on their body cameras when engaged in tactical operations. The change in Denver police policy came in a Sunday evening news release. The city of Boulder has signed on to a pledge surrounding the use of force by police. Mayor Sam Weaver signed the pledge last week, which requires the city to engage the community to gain a diverse range of input, experiences, stories, and then report back to the community. The Daily Camera reports that the city also pledges to reform the department's policies to align with public desires, as shown by the results. The promise is called My Brother's Keeper Pledge and is sponsored by the Obama Foundation. Former President Barack Obama launched the effort in 2014 to address opportunity gaps facing boys and young men of color. In an email announcing the decision, Mayor Weaver wrote that the city will take steps in the context of ongoing police reform and to eliminate structural racism from policing practices, and in the even broader context, to eliminate institutional racism within the city government. Community leaders are calling on the Boulder Valley School District to eliminate the Police Resource Officer program. The call comes after the effort is already underway in the Denver Public Schools. The Daily Camera reports that the School Resource Officer program is part of a broader effort by the NAACP to reform school discipline. In both the Boulder Valley schools and those in the St. Vrain Valley district, students of color are disciplined by being sent out of classroom, suspended, or referred to police at a higher rate than their white classmates, according to the most recent data available. On Friday in Denver, students, school board members, and Denver Public Schools Superintendent Susanna Cordova signaled their intent to end the school system's relationship with the police department. Board members Tay Anderson and Jennifer Bacon introduced a resolution to halt the district's contract with the police department. The Denverite reports that Friday's announcement came after more than a decade of demands for removal of officers led by Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, a group that advocates for equity in the education system. Former Governor John Hickenlooper was found to have violated two state ethics laws banning gifts to the public officials. The Denver Post reports that the Colorado Independent Ethics Commission ruled Friday that Hickenlooper had not violated four other charges. The decision came after Hickenlooper testified by video for several hours Friday morning, but only after the commission found him to be in contempt on Thursday for refusing to comply with a subpoena. The violations found involved the former governor's allowing large corporations to cover the cost of a private jet trip, a limousine ride, and several dinners in 2018. The commission will meet on June 12th to consider what penalties to place on Hickenlooper for the two ethics violations, as well as his contempt citation. Today it will be sunny with highs in the mid-70s and a chance of thunderstorms mainly after 5 p.m. with a high wind warning in parts of the metro area for tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and cooler with highs in the mid-60s and a chance of showers mainly before noon. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, as we heard in headlines over the weekend, thousands and thousands of people took to the streets of cities all around the Front Range as part of the National Days of Protest in response to the killing of George Floyd, in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, and now as part of the growing movement calling for defunding of the police and restructuring of police forces. We're going to hear reports from around the Front Range from Saturday and Sunday. We'll begin in Boulder on Saturday. On Saturday morning, people came out in front of the courtyard in downtown Boulder, in front of the City Council building in support of Black Lives Matter. Close to 2,000 people gathered and listened to several speakers before marching together down Pearl Street towards the Dairy Centre, chanting slogans and wearing face coverings. One of the speakers was City Council member Junie Joseph.
It is impossible to change the current system. You have to keep fighting and you have to keep working. And before coming here today, I was thinking, what should I say to all of you? I remember when I was running for city council, a lot of people told me that it was impossible for a student to run for city council and win. It was impossible for a black woman, even in 2020, that was 2019, to win city council because there's not enough black people in Boulder to vote for you. There is not enough renters who will come out and vote for you. And you will hear the same thing. There's not enough people in this country who want change. But look around. Look at the possibility of being here right now, today, and see that, yes, change is possible. But we have to go at it together. We have to find allies in each other. We have to push each other to do better, to be better. I know, for instance, in my own particular case as a city council person, there are times community members have challenged me to push the envelope. And sometimes I'm slightly concerned or just shy about pushing the envelope, but I appreciate the few of you who have reached out and held my feet to the fire. And that's what we have to do to one another. We have to hold our parents' feet to the fire. Our cousins who's a racist, we have to hold their feet to the fire. We have to go out there and fight. And that means not just the people who are here, because the thing is, those of you who are here, chances are you are working. You're working hard to make a difference. It's those people who are not here who are the problem. And they're the ones that we have to work hard to change their minds. And I know it's not going to be easy, because guess what? We've lived in this country for how long together? 400 years? And here we are today. I wasn't part of the generation of slavery, but here we are today having the same discussion over and over and over again. So it's not going to end today. There's not going to be a magic bullet that's going to solve all the problems today. But we have to work with each other. You have to work with police officers and police departments. I know it's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but we have to do it. If we say, for instance, let's just defund the police department and not have a police department, that's not going to work. You know what that will do is just will create more divide. So we have to learn to bridge that gap between one another, right? Because guess what? We can have a police department that protect and promote the rights of people. So the issues is not police departments. The issues is the lack of rights and the lack of respect for human rights. And that's what we have to work on. So with all that said, keep up the good fight. Keep working. Keep pushing the envelope. And guess what? I just realized today, just by being here with you, that yes, a lot of people will say it is impossible, but guess what? We have to work at it. Let's keep pushing toward a better future. And not only that, the possibilities of the future are endless, because I'm sure back in 1619 or whenever the first black person showed up here in shackles, the people back then couldn't have imagined us being here together today. But here we are. So that's what we have to work for. Keep pushing the envelope. Keep fighting for the impossible in a better future. Thank you.
It's Boulder City Council member Junie Joseph addressing the crowds that had gathered as part of the national protests. They gathered in Boulder, and thanks to Rosanna Longo for that. Well, KGNU's Elena Claver was at the rallies in Longmont on Saturday. She brings us this report.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Buenas tardes, good afternoon. My name is Marta Valenzuela Moreno, alias known as the police number one in Longmont. Police number one. Starving to get the job done right. Para hacer el trabajo que debe ser. We were born back in 1980. After two Hispanics were shot by two police rookie officers in Longmont. So that's why we formed. But we had a peace rally at the city council. Chief of police is down there, sitting down there. Where are you, budget? And we came together to dialogue. We had outsiders that wanted to come in. And we said, thanks, but no thanks. This is our community, and we have to deal with. Like we have to work with our brothers and sisters. Life matters to everybody, any kind of race or whatever. We all need to come into this community like brothers and sisters. Como hermanos, como hermanas.
So my name is Angel Sanchez. I'm the board president of El Comité here in Longmont, Colorado.
And as we're here with this rally, maybe you could talk about the connection between what happened with George Floyd and so many others, and how El Comité got started.
Sure. So the thing with George Floyd that we all recognize is that it's not an isolated incident. These are incidents that have been happening repeatedly. In fact, we saw protesters wearing shirts that read, "I can't breathe," the day after George Floyd was murdered. And they were asked, "How did you turn around and make those shirts so quickly?" And the sad answer was, "I've been wearing this shirt since Eric Garner was choked to death by a white police officer." And so we know these are not isolated incidents. El Comité de Longmont was in fact founded as a direct response to the killing of two Latino males by a white police officer here in our own community. Community members and leaders came together and established an organization, not an organization that was going to perpetuate violence or that was going to continue that trend, but one that was going to open dialogue and say, where are the gaps? Where can we look at our communities? Where can we connect with the police force here in Longmont and ensure that we have a working relationship that's continuous instead of meeting each other in moments of despair or moments of emergency? And El Comité still to this day has police officers from our police force on our board to continue that dialogue.
And it seems like that kind of dialogue is needed in order to, at least on a community level, prevent what happened 40 years ago and try to prevent what is happening in so many other parts of the country.
It is. It absolutely is. But I would say that it's even more, right? We definitely need the dialogue so that we all understand what are the circumstances that we're all facing together. Whether you're impacted or not, whether you're worried about walking out your front door, we're impacted together. We're a community, and what happens to one happens to all. And so far more than just dialogue, we need to take action. We need to find out what are the steps we need to take to have structural, meaningful change, whether that's showing up to the polls, teaching people how to vote, giving people the information they need to educate themselves on how to vote and who to vote for, right? So it is definitely a dialogue, but it also requires an action to follow that dialogue to ensure that meaningful change is enacted.
And we know that just coming out on the streets is not enough, although it's really heartening to see when something terrible happens that people are coming out. But what are some of the things that El Comité recommends that people do, and that people, how can people get involved with El Comité and so many other organizations like Black Lives Matter?
Sure, and you're absolutely right. It is a beautiful thing to see this. This right here gives motivation. It inspires people to want to do more. And that's the part where we lose too many folks, is we don't give them the what now after. And so my recommendation to folks is, look up local organizations. You can literally type in Social Justice Longmont and find multiple organizations that work towards that. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to friends that you know are involved. Ask them how you can get involved. Reach out to your local Black Lives Matter chapter. Ask them, how can I be a support? How can I be an ally to you, right? I think it's very important that we know from the people that are impacted directly how we can support their movement and their struggle. And so I urge all folks to look for organizations. Call the El Comité office. Ask, do you know organizations that we can get connected to? There's so many organizations in so many different spheres. If education is your thing, there are organizations working on that, right? If social justice is your thing, there are organizations working on that. So there are many spaces. You just have to go out there and look and start with talking to members of your community who've shown out here today.
Well, muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
A usted. Thank you.
Amen.
I am amplifying what Betty and Tyra have said here.
I'm putting alerts on my calendars, talking to my friends. People are organizing with faith groups. What we cannot do is have this today and then not stick around. You must be looking and following Black leadership. We have Black folks ready to lead in this moment. It does not mean white people wait for hand-holding to speak up and end white silence. But when we speak up, when we take action, our job is to listen and learn. We are not here to take over.
Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter!
Some of the voices from the protests that happened in Longmont on Saturday. We heard from Marta Morena, Angel Sanchez, they're both with El Comité. We also heard Betty Nunali and Strider singing with Betty then speaking. And lastly, Marissa Tafuro with Surge standing up for racial justice. Thanks to Elena Claver for that report. Well, in Denver, KGNU's Liz Lane caught up with a group of union members who had shown up on Saturday to have their voices heard.
And the reason we're out here is we're tired of the injustice. As a black man in America, I'm tired of looking on the TV seeing my fellow brothers and sisters killed.
How many days have you been out this week?
This is my fourth day.
Yeah, wow. And you have a bunch of your fellow colleagues. One more time, your name, sir.
Zarell Rainey.
Right, and your name?
Molly Anderson.
And why are you here today, Molly?
I'm here because I stand against fascism and racism in all its forms. My grandfather fought on the beaches of Normandy against the Nazis, and here I am today still fighting the same bullshit. I'm here with my union brothers and sisters and all citizens of this city in pursuit of freedom and justice for all.
I'm here, Jake Kuchar with Local 455 Teamsters. We stand with Black Lives Matter. We stand with our union members. And if the white Caucasian man and woman don't stand up for the black community, it's just silent, and that's a form of racism too. So we're here all together as a local union in labor to fight for justice.
And how about you? Your name, please?
My name is Shannon with Industrial Workers of the World. We're a dual union card household. I'm here with the IWW, and we would like to see all police unions get kicked out of our union.
And do you feel hopeful? I mean, looking around, seeing all the different folks here. I just saw a beautiful thing, a woman come up to hug you and thank you for your work, and I know you're really emotional.
It's beautiful being from Ferguson and some of my city being burned down to the ground because of Mike Brown, but to see everybody come together here in Denver and to protest in a peaceful way like Dr. King did, like Malcolm X did, is a beautiful thing. This is what we need. This is what unity is. This is what equality looks like, and we need to keep pushing this state by state by state and let everybody know that no more. We're people just like everybody else.
Voices from Denver's protest on Saturday. KGNU's Dave Ashton was in Colorado Springs, where the protesters were much fewer in number but equally determined.
When they fought health care for all, when they fought education, and you know, some of the, it's really hard sometimes in this city specifically because it is so conservative. It's those of us that gather, we gather with our hearts full and with strength because we know how much we're battling Colorado Springs, and the government here is in this city in El Paso County is so conservative that they don't see the importance that many of us do. It is so in a bubble, and so you coming from Denver, you're probably witnessing something very different than what you would be up in Denver.
I'm a mom of three. I have two boys and a daughter, and I'm out here for my people, all people, my life, my kids. I'm just out here. I have to do, this world that we in, and right now what's going on is awful. So I just feel like, I have to stand for something or just fall for anything. I refuse to fall.
Voices from Colorado Springs protests that took place on Saturday. Well, yesterday, thousands more people took to the streets, and yesterday's event was mostly led by members of the Denver Public Schools community. KGNU's Verity Matthews was there and spoke to some of the students who had shown up.
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want?
I mean, what happened to George Floyd and what happened to Breonna Taylor and Sandra Bland and Eric Garner and all of them could happen to me. It could happen to her. And, you know, I feel like if we're not out here being part of the solution, we're part of the problem, you know. Staying silent is not good enough anymore. You know, it's not enough to just, like, not be racist. You have to be anti-racist, like, anti-everything that doesn't stand for us, you know.
It seems like today was a lot about the youth.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah, there's a lot of kids out today.
Yeah. Did you have any friends that came down?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. No peace! No racism!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No racism!
No peace!
We heard there the voices of Raiden and Alexis, two sisters. Raiden's a student at Eagle Crest High in Denver, speaking yesterday with KGNU's Verity Matthews when the protests were largely led by young people and a strong showing from DPS students. We'll have photographs, we'll have sounds, we'll have videos all at our website at news.kgnu.org, showing you the full breadth of the protests and the activism that took place over the past few days and indeed more than a week now. We've had reports and you can find them all at news.kgnu.org.